Can you stand up with your Bibles, Luke chapter 17? I'll read one verse and then we go to our text, our message. Verse 32. And every one of us, we're going to read that together. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Everybody that can read and write, or if you cannot write, but you can read. 1, 2, 3, shall we go? Remember Lot's wife. Say it again. Remember Lot's wife. May you remember her in Jesus' name. Be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, the weather is really hot. Take note, church. According to this Bible, there are four judgments. Four judgments that God has prepared for various groups of human beings here on earth. And everybody must go through at least one of them. When the Bible says every man shall give account of himself, and the Bible says disappointed unto man once to die, after that judgment, that lets you know that there is a God somewhere that is waiting for every one of us to give account of the purpose for which he sent us here. The author of life. The author of life that gave you life. He did not give you life for entertainment. It is for a purpose. And depending on how you fulfill that purpose, whichever way, we shall all stand before him and give account of it. Four judgments. The first one we have is when you are born again. When you are born again, you come into a relationship of a father and a son, for he has given us the spirit of adoption. He adopts you to be his child, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A father-son relationship exists. And his love for us is the same kind of love parents have for their children they are bringing up. Once you are born again, if you commit anything contrary to the will of God, you will face a judgment. Here. While we are still here. The judgment while we are still here as believers. Hebrews chapter 12, he says in verse 6, for whom God loves, he says, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he calls. And children of God who ignore this aspect, come and see how the kind of miserable life they live. Because once you are saved, forever you are saved. You are not going to wait for another judgment. When you die, then you face, no. When you give your life to Christ, you have crossed over from death to life. You have crossed over from judgment. So while you are still here, that is the first judgment. And you better know, whether you know it or not, you will face that judgment. But that knowledge helps you to know how to walk with God when you are truly born again. That's why I told you. I said, if you are truly a Christian, if you believe you're a Christian, and then you find yourself into some of these funny things unbelievers do, go and fornicate. Go and steal. Go and do all the nonsense they do. And nothing bad happens to you to cause you to know you have done something wrong so that you can repent. If nothing happens to you, it is either of two reasons. It is either the long suffering of God, His patience, is still patiently waiting for you to see that you are doing something wrong so that you can repent, or you have no sonship relationship with Him. Because He only deals with His own. The rest that don't believe in Him, He reserves them for the fire. So they can live anyhow life they live. He has already concluded their judgment. The second judgment in the Bible is the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we shall all come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward. That is the judgment. At this time, it is not judgment unto condemnation. I was saying something about this during the vigil. It is judgment unto reward. Which reward? Before He left in His ascension, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. In Luke chapter 19, He told us, occupy till I come. He gave some the talents. 5, 10, 2, 1. Occupy till I come. So when He will come in the rapture, every one of us that was given that talent, you will face the Lord and tell Him what you did with your talent. And it is based on what you have done with your talent, depending on what you did, that will determine the crown you will receive. Which crown? Because after the rapture, we are coming back here according to the divine timetable, 7 years after, to come and rule with Jesus Christ on earth here for how many years? 1,000 years. That is the judgment seat of Christ for the bride, for those who will go in the rapture. And how do I know I have the talent? I have taught you here several times that every Christian, when you are born again, everyone that is born again, when you are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ask your neighbor, have you received the Holy Ghost? You see, our language is different from the language of the blind denominationals. When we shall ask you, are you a born again? Amen. Revelation tells us now to ask rather, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And you are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I stress this very passionately because this aspect has been misrepresented to the believers worldwide. You are not born again, amen, until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are not born again because you have made a decision to serve the Lord. You are not born again because you answer altar call and repeated after the pastor, and the pastor begged God to write your name in the book of life, and the pastor declared you born again, and the pastor directed you to a church to go and worship. Oh my, rejoice, you are born again. You are not born again like that, though. You are born again by one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Are we baptized into the body? And when you are baptized into the body, you become a member of the body of Christ. You become a functional member of that body. And every one of us, this is one body of Brother Moses Alu, but it is many parts, many members. The hand, the leg, the toes, the eyes, the nose. Some are seen, some are not seen. The heart is not sin. The kidney is not sin. The lungs are not sin. But they are all members that make up this one body. And no member is redundant, even including your hair. Even including your fingernails. Every member of this body has something to supply to this body. You said the fingernail is not useful because you are cutting it and throwing it away. Wait until your body begins to scratch you. Then you go look for a stick somewhere to scratch body instead of the nail God gave you. That's when you will know the importance of that nail. Now, I'm not saying you should go and keep nails, but I want you to learn that it has a part to play. Praise the Lord. Now, that part that you have to play is your talent. That part, that gift that you have is your talent. And that gift is your ministry. And what you do with that gift, when we go in the rapture, you will tell the Lord what you did with it. That's not where I am going for today. But that is the judgment seat of Christ. But it is unto reward. Praise the Lord. Now, when Christ will be coming back to start the millennium, there will be activities that will take place. Another judgment. That judgment is known as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. It is a judgment that takes place before the earth is in a position for the King of Glory to come with his saints to rule here for 1,000 years. It is the judgment. The day of the Lord. The fourth judgment is the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. All those who have not gone in the rapture that remain in the ground, there will be in the graves all unbelievers. That is when they will resurrect after the 1,000 years. But this time it is not a judgment to pardon anybody. It is only a judgment for you to know why you are going to be put in the lake of fire. That is the white throne judgment. Praise the Lord. But this is my emphasis for today. We are looking at the day of the Lord. That is the topic we are taking. And I feel it's needed at this time again. Using this teaching, it's a teaching. We'll look at it through the scriptures. You will get to know what will happen to the people that will be left behind who did not go in the rapture. What do we go through? Why is it called the day of the Lord? Because there was a day that it was a day for man to humiliate him. They were abusing him, they were insulting him. And it's been on since he was born. Hallelujah. When he was around physically, they made caricature of him until they gave him a very cruel death. It was their own time. And after he ascended, they have still been dealing anyhow with him. They have been making caricature of him. All manner of things. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Nobody references that name anymore. Everybody, Jesus, Jesus, in Jesus' name. They sleep with people's wives in Jesus' name. They steal people's money in Jesus' name. Pastors are for one night of congregation and collecting all that they have. In Jesus' name. You see? And he is there looking at them. He's not bothered because there is a day he has reserved for himself. All this nonsense that is going on will not last forever. There is a day it will end. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And why I read Luke chapter 17 is, remember Lot's wife. Why Lot's wife? Lot had an opportunity to escape from the destruction that was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah through a message that God sent through his angels to him. They had the message of their day. What is the message? Come out of her, my people, because destruction is coming upon them. Amen. In our own time, it is the shout. The same shout. Come out of her, my people, and don't be partaker of her sins. Come out of the Antichrist system. It is an Antichrist system. The entire message through another angel of God in this age. That humble servant of God that fulfilled Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6 part B. Confirming Revelation 10 verse 7. We heard the shout and we came out. How many people have come out? How many people have come out? How many? Good. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how you heard it. Amen. But it is important that you hear well. The truth is, time will show whether you heard it or it's just follow. Because there are people that are following this entire message either because your father and mother are going to the message church, or the person you are squatting with is attending bride assembly, or your husband forced you, or your wife forced you, or you are coming here as if you are one of them because you are looking for one girl to marry, or you are looking for believing God to give you one brother here to marry you, sister. Lot's wife had the message through her husband. God is saying, come out, don't carry any of their property. Drop their trousers, drop their earrings, their jewelry, their pendant. Drop it and come out. Destruction is coming upon them. The same way destruction came upon Jezebel. Come out of them, my people. Run, fast. Fast. She was following. But there is a warning. Anytime there is a message of salvation, I preach a message, I say, salvation is not free. I preach a message entitled Conditional Salvation. Jesus himself said, if you will follow me, just come anyhow you are, it doesn't matter. Is that what he said? What did he say you should do? Carry your cross as I carry my own. Hallelujah. Anytime there is a message, there will be a condition attached to it. The reason is, the condition is given to separate the wheat from the tares. Why will you believe that that is an angel of God? And you will not hear the message. You say, God sent him to you. Or you will say, I believe it only this far. Or you want to give him condition. That is the condition of the church today. But I am not going to a denomination. I am facing us here now. All of you that sit down here, remember Lot's wife. Lot left with his wife. The condition was, don't look back. Is it a difficult thing not to look back? Very simple. Don't look back. Amen. That is why I say, Matthew 11:28, come to me, All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I say, that come is not come with leg. You come with your heart. It's your heart that he's looking for. But we come with leg and drop our heart on our seats. It will show. She was falling with her leg, but her heart was in Sodom. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So many of us, brothers and sisters, that God gave this rare opportunity up till this morning. I finished studying and I was just, when I saw some things I saw in the Bible, I didn't know how. I was just on my knees thanking God for saving me. Thanking God for saving me. And I was promising God that I will not fail him. I will not disappoint him. When I see what will happen to those who don't make the rapture. And he has given me opportunity to escape through the message of the hour. That is the only escape route. This entire message is the only escape route. I say it boldly, boldly. Somebody hearing me, maybe on the broadcast, send a text. Are you preaching William Brown or preaching Jesus? I only replied him, if you know Jesus, you will have known who his servants are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of the denominational leaders, a minister here met. Immediately they say, he's from Brother Assembly. They say, that Abraham Church. They said derogatorily, that Abraham Church. You know what they mean? But listen, church, I am talking to somebody here who God has given opportunity to escape. And you have escaped. Amen. But you are escaping with your leg instead of your heart. How do I know? You have been hearing these things. You have been coming to this ministry. You have been hearing us sitting down under this atmosphere. And sister, you are still doing everything the worldly women do. That this same message has told you, don't join them to do. So, how have you escaped? And I'm so proud of something. Because for sure, for certain, every pastor will produce those he converted. And I am so blessed, so happy that I have even more people that through hearing us through our broadcast have come into this message and they are holding on to it even abroad, all over the world. We have their testimonies. And there is another church again in Spain, Sister Doris. Sister Doris, she is also a Spanish citizen. Come and tell us what happened when she discovered them recently when she went to France. To let you know that there are people that are hearing us and they are holding on to what we are saying. Kakaraka, they believe what we are saying. Give a microphone. Tell us what happened.
Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. Shalom, church. Last month, I traveled to Spain in Alicante. So, I was there. I went to one sister house. So, when I get there, the sister was just greeting me. I said, what are you doing in the house? He said, in short, Spain is too hard by this time. They are just managing houses themselves. Later, I said, are you not going to church? He said, I beg, you know, if you go to church, the church where they get a CV. He said, but you get one church. The church, this kind of skirt where they wear, your cover them down. I said, which kind of church be that? He said, they here. He said, sure, sister, what church are you going? I said, Bride Assembly. He said, You go Bride Assembly? I said, yes. He said, sister, but what you wear, you have, your hand is not long. It's a half hand. I said, yes, but...
But
I say, well, I was thinking that the sun is too much. That is why. I said, my sister, wait. Don't look what I wear. Please. If you know that there's any church that is okay here, you have to be attending. It's very good. I said, but anyway, where is that church? Say, there are somewhere there. They say, I said, who is the pastor? Who is he attending it? Because me, I want to know who people is there. He said that one of my person that used to work with me, Brother Saturday. Ah! I said, I will call. So I now call Brother Saturday. Brother Saturday, shalom. He said, shalom, my sister. He said, one of them. I said, wow. I said, I have my brother in this place.
Clap your hands.
So, which day are you people doing service? He said that on Friday, then sit in IVG. Or this, I said, please. In fact, I was having some shirts, some short skirts, because of them, brethren. I took my clothes, I wrap it in a paper bag, I throw it in a dustbin. Because it's just a chalet to us. Before, when I stay in outside the air, when there was your calling in outside country, I would say, bah, abroad, because I did this since 2001. What you see, corruption, you see life over there. When God took you out from there, you will be very proud.
Amen.
When you want to have your documents, you will lie all kind of lie. When you cross your leg outside airport here, you will certainly deal with Oyibo with liar, all kind of things to just sustain. So when I was hearing that, I said, I don't believe or say that I really repent. But I see, brethren, I see a child of God when I get here.
Uh-huh.
I really see that they repent, brethren. In short, it's a chalet of bride assembly.
Uh-huh.
What they was putting on. In our blood, you see them with natural hell. In fact, I was so, in short, I was running mad. When I get to that church, I say, let me sit on the back. They appeared to me because they see my Bible. It was unstoppable bride. I said, anytime I want to go to church, I used to pray. I don't go any hard church. Because if I get there, my heart will just hook. But when I get there, I was not like I with my family.
Amen.
I see them preach Bible.
Amen.
They don't even put, maybe let them be washing and be taught. No. They was preaching entire message.
Clap your
they was speaking.
Touch.
Their sisters, I see them, all of them tied hair. They wear long skirt in abroad. I say, wow.
Oh.
I see that with the Holy Ghost anointing was flowing. Even though when I was having an attack, they are the ones that even deliver me. In abroad. I say, hey. In short. If you, as I'm saying, I'm happy. I'm just happy for them. I don't know, Brother Blessing, whether you are looking at me. I don't know, Brother Saturday. I pray for you people. God will continue to encourage you people because the women
church,
were so
can we wave our hand for that church in Spain? Just wave your hand.
Shalom, brethren. Shalom.
Tell them shalom. Shalom. Can we clap our hands for those
praise the Lord.
Watching us like this, a church started in Spain. In Spain, they wear long skirt. Until when she went there, they were rebuking her. How can you say you are a bride? You are wearing sleeveless dress. Natural hair. She was receiving attack there. They were the ones that delivered her. They come for fellowship. The power of God come down raw. All through this same broadcast. Hearing what you have heard. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are not the only ones. They are scattered all over. All over the world. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the reason. I said somebody. You don't know what you are playing with. You don't know what you are joking with. You don't know the opportunity you have had that you are playing with, joking with, your eternal destination. Eternal destination. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. The day of the Lord. It is not the judgment for hellfire yet. Oh. Hellfire own. Comes 1,000 years after this day of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The purpose of this message, the purpose for this sermon is to just let somebody who is joking begin to think back again. In the world, we have warning signs. Warning signs. For, you know, dangers that are coming ahead. They have warning signs for hurricanes. Before the hurricane lands, sometimes 2 weeks in advance, they see it coming. And they begin to warn the people in the direction that that hurricane is coming from or is passing through. They evacuate everybody. If you stay there, you die. Hallelujah. But have people not remained there and died? Some will believe are wrong. But some will remain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tsunami warning signs. They are bound everywhere. Tsunamis. We know how many thousands were killed during the last tsunami that took place in Asia there. Because of it, they have warning signs before there is any tsunami in any ocean, at least before it strikes, people will know. So that you can prepare for it and run. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. He says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his secret to his servants, the prophets, so that he can warn the people. The whole world was to be destroyed by flood. In Genesis chapter 7, Noah escaped because Noah had the warning that there would be a flood that would wipe away the whole earth. Did he escape? Yes, he escaped. Hallelujah. The angel of death was to pass through Egypt. The message came to a prophet. And he told his people, did they escape? Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Also, in Matthew chapter 24, there was destruction that was coming upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ told his disciples, when you see the abomination that make it desolate, stand in the holy place. Let him that read it, hallelujah, take it. And began to tell them, when you see it, if you are outside the city, don't come in. Hallelujah. If you are in the rooftop, don't come down. He said, pray that it doesn't come on a Sabbath day. We are not every, it will catch everybody. He said again, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, he told them, he said, pray that it is not during winter. And say, woe to him that gives suck. The woman that will give suck in those days. And told them the danger. When in 1870, that prophecy came to fulfill, none of the followers and believers of that prophet Jesus was caught up in that destruction. Because they were forewarned and they took heed. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, now. Because the Bible tells us that Lot was in that city of Sodom. And he said his heart vexed him every day about the abominations that were taking place there. He was always angry. And every true Christian now, you cannot be happy about how morality has degraded to the stage that it is, until homosexualism is being celebrated and it has even crept into the church and they are ordaining them and then gay marriages taking place, and all the moral decadence, the level it has gone to, until human beings are now saying that there is no God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto your pastor. But if you are going to study, study what? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Study the warning signs in the Bible concerning the end of time. Study Bible prophecies that are fulfilling right before your eyes. Study. And prophecies are standing right before us. If the Jews were studying their scriptures to be approved unto God and not to their denominational system, they will have known that the period that Christ manifested was the period the Bible said he will appear. We have reverend doctors and doctors of divinity with big titles of degrees, some beyond, some of them even professors. And yet, prophecy, Malachi chapter 4, fulfilling before their eyes, but they cannot catch it because they are not studying to be approved unto God. They are studying to place themselves in the positions that they aspire to be, not to follow a divine timetable. Salvation has a timetable. It is God's own affair. It is God's own program. That's why Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He knows when it is the next item in the program. Study to know where we are now, where we have traveled from, where we have reached now, and where next we are to go. What next to expect is in the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what is the day of the Lord? Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 says it is a dreadful day of the Lord. You have to write these scriptures down. He said it's a dreadful day of the Lord. That's how the Bible describes that day. Isaiah 61 and verse 2 and also Isaiah 34. Read the first 10 verses there. Isaiah 34, 1 to 10. Calls this the day of vengeance. The day of the Lord is the day of vengeance for Christ to come and avenge all the nonsense they have been doing against him. And Zephaniah chapter 2 verse 2 calls it the day of the Lord's anger. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26 and verse 21, he says it is the day to punish the inhabitants of the earth for her iniquities. That is Isaiah 26, verse 21. The day to punish the inhabitants of the earth for her iniquities. Zephaniah, again, chapter 1. Reading from verse 14 up to verse 18. Zephaniah kept referring to it in his own language as a great day of the Lord. But in the context, he's talking about how terrible that day is. And he used the word great. Yes. Joel also called it great. In Joel chapter 1, verse 14 up to verse 20. And Joel also chapter 2, reading from verse 1 up to verse 11. He says, alas, for the great day of the Lord is at hand. Who can abide it? Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 32, read it up to verse 38. This is the way Jeremiah described it. Say, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. It is talking about the day of the Lord. And in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10 to 22, go and take time and read these scriptures. Isaiah 2, verse 10 up to verse 22 describes it as a day that the rod of the Lord shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. Yes. And after the prophet saw, Prophet Isaiah, saw the end of the matter, the effect of what will happen that day, in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. Isaiah 13, verse 6. This is the way he put it. He said, "Holy, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travelleth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Verse 12. "I will make man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." Hey, go to chapter 24, Isaiah. Let me read the first 6 verses there. Isaiah 24, from verse 1. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turning it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken his word. The earth mourneth and faded away, the world languisheth and faded away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled with the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore had the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." Hey, Jesus. No, somebody made a statement here now. That's not it. Not many are called. That's not the scripture. The many are called. Before this happens, the few are chosen. They have gone. This is the rest that are left. The reason why he left those few men, so that they will repopulate the earth for the next 1,000 years. When he finished shaking the world, another scripture says he will reel the earth like a pendulum. By the time he finished, he said there will be as precious gold. That is, there will be scarce. Men will be scarce. Until if, by the time it is over, when you meet a human being, you say, "Hey, you escaped? You're there alive? Hey, men will be scarce to find." That's why he extended it for 1,000 years for the earth to be repopulated again. While the devil that's caused the confusion is in the bottomless pit. How can I have this knowledge and not make my calling and election sure? Praise the Lord. Go to verse 18 of chapter 24, Isaiah. He said, "And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth," when is that day? "He who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh out coming up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. He said, this is the scripture. He said, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Praise the Lord. That's why in Amos chapter 5, if you read it from verse 18 to 20, he was emphasizing, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. And Zechariah screamed in Zechariah 14 verse 1. He said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When is this day of the Lord? I want you to watch something. In reading the book of Revelation, something very interesting you should take note of. The book of Revelation is not written from chapter 1 to chapter 22 in the order of fulfillment. Do you understand? So you don't say after chapter 1 is fulfilled, then chapter 2 will fulfill, then chapter 3 will fulfill. Praise the Lord. For instance, chapter 11 is fulfilled before chapter 7. Praise the Lord. Chapter 7 is the sealing of the 144,000. Okay. Also, just catch that the Lord himself decided to juggle it, allow John to juggle as he saw it, he was writing, he was juggling it, so that you will need a revelation from him to be able to place it properly in the order of fulfillment. And that was made possible only after the seals were revealed through the ministry of William Marion Braham. This Bible became open for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you notice that the seals that were open. Hallelujah. But when it pleased God to open those seals in Revelation chapter 6. Remember in Revelation chapter 5, the book that was sealed with seven seals within and without on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. That no man was qualified to open. Amen. No man was qualified to open. And why John was crying? Because there is something in that book that has to do with our eternal destination. That man should know. And if we don't know, we are finished. As he was crying, hallelujah. The angel of the Lord tapped him. Don't cry, John. Amen. Don't think that nobody is worthy. Hallelujah. He said, for the lion of the tribe of Judah. What is his name? What is his name? Jesus. He has prevailed. And as he looked, he saw like a lamb that came to him that sat on the throne and collected the book. Oh, let's clap our hands for our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And began to open those books and those seals. When he opened the seal, it was symbol. Symbol. White horse. Open another one. Red horse. Open another one. Black horse. Open another one. Pale horse. Four horse. They were all in symbols. So John himself did not understand it. So he only stated the symbol. But blessed be the name of the Lord. On that day, February 28th, on that mountain of Arizona, in America, February 28th, 1963, the angel of the Lord, seven of them, met with Abraham by the side of that mountain and told him to go back to Arizona. It is time for the revelation of the seals. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there was a reason why. It's not because William Branham is the most anointed. No. The reason because Brother Omon just spoke now about our sister with her family. Said this is the appointed time. There is a divine timetable. And there is a time that those seals were supposed to be opened. And it pleased God that in this end time, when the seal should be opened, because it is, if the devil had known it in advance, he will mess it up. So it is nothing but history. It was history of how Satan has moved in the churches. That is the gates of hell Jesus Christ spoke of in Matthew chapter 16. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail. There were those four horse riders. The secret was in a book unless it is revealed. Hallelujah. And how the Antichrist system had taken over the church. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you discover that in Revelation chapter 6, if you open it, in Revelation chapter 6, you discover that the first seal to the fourth seal, verse 1 to verse 8, those four seals were opened there. Amen. They cover the seven church ages. Verse 1 to verse 8 covers the seven church ages from the first age with the first age messenger Apostle Paul. All through, we have taken the seven church ages that God also caused William Branham to have the revelation that he also passed to us. Now, the fifth seal, amen, which is in from verse 9 to verse 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. That is the fifth seal. Therefore, which group of people there was referred to in the fifth seal? It is those Jews that were killed during the Second World War by Hitler and his people. And it was from Europe. He said they should wait a season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, they are also killed also. When will they be killed? They will be killed in the coming great tribulation. And that tribulation, it is the day of the Lord that comes and ends that tribulation. It takes place in the last 3.5 years of the 7 years that is left for the Jews after the rapture. I'm saying some deep things now. Praise the Lord. That is seal number 5. Amen. Now, watch it. Seal number 7, amen, is fulfilled before seal number 6. Seal number 7, the seventh seal, is Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. Where he says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And William Branham said it. When that seal was opened, every night they were opening each seal what it meant, each seal what it meant. But when it came to the seventh seal, there was silence. God did not allow William Branham to see what was there. But seal number 8 ties to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 8, seal number 7, ties with Revelation chapter 10, the archangel. Praise the Lord. The archangel that rises up from the throne. And who is that archangel? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Raises his hand and swears by him that liveth forever and ever that there should be time no longer. And when he cried like a lion roared, what happened? 7 thunders uttered their voices. That archangel in Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1 is the second stage of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that Apostle Paul spoke about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend first with a shout, which is what is going on now, the ministry of William Branham, and the voice of the archangel that produces the 7 thunders. The 7 thunders sounds before the rapture takes place. After the rapture takes place, amen, in the 7th seal, then the 6th seal is activated. It is in the 6th seal, amen, that we find the activities of the day of the Lord. And we will look at them scripture by scripture by scripture when next we come. Shall we stand up? Pick your hymn book, hymn number 69. Let that be your prayer every day. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Let's go now.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Blessed in my hands the wonderful pleasure thou shalt obtain and set me free.
Our prayer
voices of truth, thou send. Spirit divine.
Answer that prayer as you make that your prayer point every day in these closing days of time, in the name of Jesus Christ.